Deuteronomy chapter 4. Now remember that what we have been talking about is what? The life of grace. And we have been talking, of course, the summary of everything that we have been trying to see is how to walk in the will of God at all times. We have established the fact that God has a plan for your life, that God doesn't make discoveries. Let's say that again. The good Lord does not make discoveries. Everything is planned ahead of time by Him. Do you understand that point? God does not make discoveries. Let's get that point. And what we are trying to do is to find ourselves in the center of the will of God. We are not trying to do what is good. You know, we define the will of God as not that which seems good to us, or not that which even appears good to humanity. Do you understand? That what really, the real thing about the will of God is that which is in accordance with God's plan, that which is in agreement with God's original intention, what God documented that your life should be like. So a man who's walking in the will of God is not the nice, holy, and righteous person. That's not it. Now, holiness and righteousness are important. Do you understand what I'm saying? That is walking in a holy fashion. But what really makes the will of God is the fact that what I am doing is what God recorded that I should be doing. Do you follow what I'm saying? I like the way Oswald Chambers put it. Oswald Chambers said that Jesus never came to save the world, that he came to do the will of the Father, that it was the Father that was saving the world. So if God had said that what Jesus should do is to condemn the world, he would have gladly, do you understand what I'm saying, condemned the world. Because what was most important to him was what? The will of God. And when he was talking about the will, like he would tell you that, should I say, Father, deliver me from this hour? I said, but for this cause I came to this hour. That is, I'm not praying for deliverance from my problems at this point, but because I have come to realize that that's why God gave me life, that's why God brought me into existence. So I will not pray to be taken out of that problem, because it appears from my understanding that that problem is exactly what God wants me to pass through. So when he was praying, he said, Father, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. I explained something which I should say it again. That one of the problems we've had in modern day Christianity is that we have taught the will of God to seem to mean that which will seem good to me. The one that will please me, the one that will give me more financial prosperity, the one that will make me travel all over the world. A man was preaching somewhere where I was present, and he was saying that he was praying to God for open doors. And somebody phoned him from maybe Malawi or one of these East African countries and said, look, come and preach. He's a Nigerian preacher. And he looked and said, no, this is not the kind of open door I'm talking about. Then on that day, somebody sent him a message that, all right, come and preach. This time around, the message was from France. He said, good, that is an open door. I said, look, listen, this is confusion. Do you understand my point? And he said it himself, that look, he's not looking for open door that is his own money that he used to travel. He's looking for open door that when he comes back home, God will have blessed him. You follow what I'm trying to say? Now, that is not right. Listen to me. What did I say? That is not right. That is not what defines the will of God. The fact that if you go to France, they have enough euro to bless you when you are coming back, doesn't mean it's the will of God. Do you follow my point? If you had gone to Malawi and you had to use your money, I remember then Francis Waluoke one day was speaking. This was shortly after the Soviet Union collapsed and doors were now open. People could go down to the former Soviet bloc and preach the gospel. I remember then he said he organized programs in Russia and it cost them about $36,000 and everything was paid for from Nigeria, here. But please, let's just remember that again. I just want to emphasize it again, that the will of God is not that which seems to promote financial prosperity in my life immediately or make everything appear good. What defines God's will is that this is what God wants. This is what God recorded. You know, today as I was getting dressed to come for this meeting, something just went through my mind and I told myself, Father God, I thank you for my life. I think I'm having a good time. Are you getting my point? Yes. I think I'm having a good time. Does it mean light is constant in my house? No. Does it mean I'm driving the kind of car I like to drive? No. Most certainly not. Is everything physically speaking appearing very sweet? No. I have seen better things. You know what I mean? Physically speaking, now better things. I said, but no. I think I'm having the time of my life. I am preaching the word of God. That's my assignment. I'm blessing people with the word of God. I am doing what I am supposed to do. Do you follow the point I'm making? Now, why did I even think I'm having a good time? I don't even know for sure now. But I know that I just felt, in the Bible said that Jesus rejoiced in the spirit. You know what I'm trying to say? I just rejoiced in the spirit. And the reason why I looked at it is that I thought of many things. You know, I traveled around over the last few days. I watch TV, I read books, I discuss with people, you know. And when I put everything together, I told myself, God is good. I think I'm having the time of my life. I'm enjoying myself. Does it mean I can do everything I want to do? No. Like I said, I don't want to bore you. Certain things led to it as I was analyzing. I said, it is crucial to God that I'm where I am right now. Even though somebody would tell me that, if you were living in America, this is what you will just get easily. All right? But I said, I can't carry those. I teach the word of God with me to that place. And listen, Mike Murdock said that God's will has geographical location. Do you get my point? And listen, the whole earth has to be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the seas. Do you follow what I'm saying? And if God has decided that I should sit where Nepal takes like half of the time, to be filling it with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the seas, I'm okay. And I have discovered, let me tell you, this is not a joke. Solomon made a statement, and please get it into your heart solidly. He said, vanity upon vanity, all is what? Vanity. He made that statement after he had tested every method of enjoying life available. When he finished, he said what? All is emptiness. He says, like chasing after the wind. I told somebody that the time I traveled last year, that I went to the U.S. for a few weeks. I said, the first 5 days, man, I enjoyed myself. Why? Because one of my friends here that was going to be in New York, he came from London. He just flew straight to New York. All of us met there. So old friends gathered. We're going from one person's house to another. One of them took us around New York, you know, saw all the things you see in movies. We're just going from one place. He's showing us everywhere. As after the fifth day, the guy who came from London went back to London. And me, it wasn't New York I came to. I was going to Houston for a course. I flew from New York to Houston. And then I wanted to go back home. After the second week, I wanted to go back home. I was almost going crazy. Why? I mean, action is at home. I don't know whether I get my point. Listen, after the first few days, I didn't notice that nobody was taking light again. I don't know whether you are getting what I'm saying. I'm then explaining satisfaction. That is, satisfaction is where? Inside your soul. It's inside you. It's not outside. I quickly realized something that, if you leave me here for the next 6 months, I will go crazy. I wonder, are people who leave their wife and children, say they are going to look for greener pastures? After 2 weeks, I almost went mad. In fact, it was worse when my brother-in-law now traveled, left only me in the house. Anyway, it worked well. I wrote a whole book, Great Faith Can Be Yours. I wrote it in 2 weeks when there was nobody to disturb me. It was very nice. I'll come back from work. In fact, that one, I used to be the first doctor to close in that department. After people are not paying me salary, I'm just here to observe people for a few weeks. Once I know the afternoon bus has started running, boom, I pack my bag, greet everybody, I see you guys tomorrow. Boom, I'm going home. After settling down, eating, relaxing small, I start writing. This is the point I'm making. As God is my witness, I think I was very dissatisfied when I couldn't see my wife, my children, couldn't see people in Kingdom World Ministries to teach them the word of God. I didn't even notice that never. So the road is smooth. What am I done? They say, listen, this satisfaction is where? It's inside. It's inside. It's inside. It's inside. Everybody complains. The rich complain. There's no, listen. I was with my friend Larry yesterday and he was saying that he doesn't believe there are no jobs. And that one I know for sure. Most of the Nigerians you know that go to America, go and ask them what they do. Then you will find out that there are jobs everywhere. Do you know that? The reason why he finds a job there easily is because he's very eager to work. But when he gets back home, after going from Zenith to GTB, from GTB to Intercontinental, down to PHB, they don't give him a job. He said, there are no jobs in Nigeria. Idiot. He has only got to 4 places, 4 banks. Every day I talk to people and I see, look, where is Chike? He's not around. He will tell you the major problem he has is to find good staff, not qualified staff. Anybody can bring out a piece of paper. You know that? I mean what? Good staff. I don't mean qualified people. Because a graduate came out with a sheet of paper. I like the way Americans do it. They don't ask you, look, they've seen your paper, thank you very much. What did you say you learned in school? You're an engineer. Come and engineer this engine, let me see. That's the way they do their own things. Do it, let us see. He wants to know what you can do. Do you get the logic? In the same manner, we get down here. There's work for everybody, qualification or not. There's work. There is work. If you can do it, do it. If nobody is paying you initially, do it all the same. After a while, you will be rewarded for your labor. But everybody just wants to go with a sheet of paper, go to a secure place and let them pay him big salary. And even when they refuse, you know what they say? There's no work. There's work everywhere. Do you get my point? Look, my personal persuasion, and this is not even, if we have time to talk about it, I will prove it to you. There's as much employment in Nigeria as there is in America. I'm explaining something about the will of God. That's what we're trying to say. That don't let the world deceive you. God has a plan for your life, and part of that plan, Mike Mundock said, is a geographical location, and I believe that. So what we are saying, all of these things, of what I've just said so far, is that don't let anybody deceive you. Even Englishman said it, the grass always appears, I'm putting the word appear now, greener on the other side. It's when you get there, you find that there's another side in which it is greener still. After some time, if you grow fast enough, you will tell yourself, oh boy, this green doesn't seem to end. Yes. You first find satisfaction in God. Like I always say, if it now takes you to Australia, it is good. I've never said, you must die in Nigeria. Did I ever say that? I just said, first you will find satisfaction in God, and then he can move you to anywhere. And if he doesn't move you at all, you are still satisfied. One of the revelations that's come to my heart again in recent days is the importance of blessing for my children. Now, let me say that again. I'm getting more persuaded by the day that it's more crucial for a blessed man's offspring to be blessed than for the man himself to experience blessing. Did you hear what I said? It is a surer sign that God blessed you that people talk about your children and the people and they say, who was their father? It's more important too. No, really. A friend of mine was in my house yesterday. Well, the night before, he left yesterday, and we're just discussing. He talked about a number of things, and I was asking that house, did you sell it? He said, no, they haven't sold it yet. That's about to be sold now. I said, how much are you guys selling it? He said, 375 million naira. A house one man just wants to live in, just because he feels like living in the house. So I said, the other guy, is it that former guy that's buying? He said, no, not, it's not the guy. It's not the guy. If I mention the man's name, you know. He said, it's not him. It's his youngest brother that's buying. And that the brother said, in the whole family, I am the smallest. At least financially, I am the smallest. And I'm the one buying a house to live in for 375 million naira. His eldest brother, who I asked after, as a young boy in this life, he used to hawk oranges in Surulere in Lagos. Did you hear what I said? You understand what I'm saying? He didn't go to university for information. He has a HND. First class were begging to work for him. In one generation. Now, this is the point, interesting thing about him, which is what is exciting me. He has made everybody else in his house rich. So much that his youngest brother, who he made rich, is now buying a house he wants to live in for 400 million naira, just because the house is in front of the ocean. I have found that the surer, better look. In fact, I've made up my mind that it's more important to me now that my offsprings are blessed than it is that I am blessed. Do you understand my point? So I have to lay up treasure in heaven so that God will, you know, God will look at Solomon and say, were it not for David, my servant. Generations after David, they will sing. God will say, were it not for David, my servant. I look at my children, I look at their head. I look at their heads and say, this is the head of a great man. Looking at my son yesterday, he was watching TV, he was sitting in front of me. I was just staring at him. I said, this boy has no choice. He has succeeded in life. How do I describe him now? That is, all the wealth his father, and I mean, God and I arranged that one. Ever since the word of the Lord came to me, saying, behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. I knew I would never, ever, ever be average in life. Never. It's not possible. It's too late. Yet, for all the blessings that we see, by the time I'm 100, put everything together, by the time the boy is 35, you hear what I said? 35, you almost make me look poor. Do you understand my point? Yes, it's a blessing. You cannot scheme your way into such blessings. You can't. You can only obey God and you lay up treasure in heaven by your obedience to God, and God pours a blessing upon you. God knows how to do it. That one I have found out. He knows how to do it very well. He just looks and says, this one, Gabriel, arrange all the angels. I like the way they said it was in angels on assignment. The man said he saw angels, and the angels were looking very fierce, looking very angry and ready to fight. What's going on? He said, we have come to do battle for your finances. I said, that is good. That we have come to wage war to set you free absolutely financially. That's the only thing that increases people. Do you understand my point? It's not by struggles. I have read all books. Look, all those books. Good to great. What do smart executives do? I have read so many of them. I came to the conclusion. In fact, I like that book, Blink. There's a reason why I like it. Because some of the things we have found out, look, let me just say what I want to say about it. I'm a pathologist, all right? That's my natural training. One of the things we do as pathologists is to prognosticate. What we mean is that if somebody has a cancer, well, between us and the surgeons, you want to decide his chances of living beyond the next 10 years as an example. Now, let me take breast cancer as an example. That's what I want to talk about, breast cancer as an example. If you see the number of tests, most of which we don't do in Nigeria here, to check the prognosis, the expected outcome of a particular case, DNA analysis, apart from the normal one we do with microscope, you check for all kinds of proteins, check for this, check DNA analysis, check kind of mutation inside the tumor. At the end of the day, you put everything together and say, okay, we think this is the prognosis. Recently, some people, you know, science keeps advancing, all right? They started from the simple ones and went into the depths. They kept on studying to the making of books. There is no end. They kept on doing and doing. Finally, at the point where they were, one man, they woke up one day and went back to the original thing, that is the basic things. And found out that the accuracy, I haven't done all the 1,000 tests, is not better than if you just did the first few basic tests properly. Alain, can you read that book, Blink? When the man was talking about how to decide whether somebody has a heart attack or not, so there's a part of it, being a doctor, I understood what he was saying properly. He said the man brought everything down to simple 3 questions you will ask. When I read all those things, I see spiritual things in it. Have you seen the books we read? 55 Steps to Build a Great Company. How to Succeed in Life. At the end of, look. So many theories, so many principles to obey. I have found out that we can simplify it in a few lines. The end of everything is fear God, obey His commandments. That's the whole duty of man. How to hire and retain the best people. 55 steps to get unlimited credit facility, which you will never fail in paying back. When I was in Sokoto, I was teaching them this again. In Sokoto, I talked about the revelation of Jesus Christ again. The importance of knowing Christ and Him crucified. That's what I was explaining to them there. I talked about 275 questions to ask before you say I do. I said, if you spend your life asking 275 questions just because you want to marry, how many questions will you ask before you impregnate your wife? How many questions will you ask before she delivers? How many questions will you ask before the children grow up? How many questions will you ask before you send them to school? Listen to me. Put all the questions. You are not talking about how to work and to make money. This is just on wife, children, and upbringing. Then you have to ask maybe like 300 before you found your own company. 65 questions before you travel abroad. 60 before you come back. You'll just be a confused man. Your life will be a life of questions. At the end of everything, there is a simplified form. Fear God, obey His commandments. That's the whole duty of man. I have discovered that when God is blessing a man, do you get my point? His mistakes become a blessing. When that book comes out, read it, The Grace to Prosper. In it, I discussed what it means when God loves someone. The Bible said that God loves a cheerful giver. Please read those 2 chapters, the first 2 chapters in that book when it comes out. When God loves someone, I will discuss it anyway when we finish this series. We'll go get into money matters. I'll talk about the meaning of the word God loving somebody. When God loves someone, it's not like human beings loving someone. It's a world of difference. He said, Balaam tried to curse you. I turned his curses into a blessing because I loved you. Do you understand what I'm saying? When God loves someone, he turns his mistakes and he makes them appear like carefully planned, orchestrated steps to success. Why? Because God loved him. Do you get what I'm saying? We can break the whole of life down according to that book, Blink. You call it thin slicing, right? Uh-huh. We can thin slice the whole of life to a simple thing. Fear God, obey his commandments. That's the whole duty of man. When I was in Sokoto, that's what I was teaching. I explained to the people, say, look, there are so many principles in life to learn. There are so many. But we forget one thing. Let me get down to my meeting. I said she opened somewhere, right? I was just trying to review where we were. There are so many, we forget the main thing about Christianity. And the main thing about Christianity is the discovery of Christ. Do you get my point? Listen, the more you behold, as long as you are beholding the image of Christ, you are being transformed to his image. Do you understand my point? And the amount of transformation that is occurring in your life with relation to the perfect image of Christ Jesus is what decides what you experience outwardly, not the amount of principles you learn. Do you get my point? Listen, no. If you can see life the way... Do you know nobody taught Jesus the principles of walking on water? Which school did he go to? I've given this illustration before. That one day I read this story. I don't know which book I read it in. But how many of you have heard of Buddhism? Buddha. All right? Uh-huh. One day Buddha was walking beside the waters. Or was on the seashore. And he saw a man. The man walked up to him and said, "Ah, Lord Buddha, having practiced the principle of austerity for 20 years, now I was able to walk across the waters." And the man said, 20 years to walk across water. Why didn't you pay the ferry 1 shilling? Did you get the point? That you had to spend 20 years to learn to walk across water. Let me add Banky's words. Okay. How many years will you use to learn how to cook now? That you've been walking across water. How many years will you spend learning to do all that? It's the only thing in life to do, walking across water. Do you follow the point I'm trying to make? That is, we spend so much energy trying to learn this thing, this one, that we, in fact, it's impossible for us to make real success of life because the life we are trying to live is too short. 20 years to learn to walk on water. What do you have? What times do you have? Now, don't forget, you didn't start as a child, so you didn't finish it when you were 20. But you finished learning when you were 40. And all you have to do is to walk. You were able to learn how to walk across water. So many little things to learn. But you know what? Did Jesus try that? No, he didn't use that principle. What happened was that the divine nature was revealed in him. When the time came to walk across water, he walked across water. How many times did he walk across water? Very few times. Most of the time, what did he used to do? Borrow a boat. Are you getting what I'm saying? I'm explaining the principle. That when we get transformed to the image of Christ, when we need to walk across water, we walk across water. When we need to fly, yes, we will fly. After Philip finished ministering to the Ethiopian eunuch, what happened? He flew. He disappeared. Went straight to Azotus. That was it. And those things happened. Somebody was telling me the other day about Apostle Babalola, the founder of CAC in Nigeria. You heard of CAC? Christ Apostolic Church. Talking about flying. He said there are times, maybe he has a meeting in a place like Abuja. At maybe, let's assume as an example. He's supposed to preach in Abuja tonight at 6 o'clock. To your amazement, you are in Enugu at 4. The man is still preaching. And he'll say, "Sir, you're supposed to be in Abuja at 6 today, sir." He said, oh, I didn't forget. Yes, we'll be there. 6 o'clock sharp, he's there in Abuja, he's preaching. No, this is not a joke. He'll finish preaching, he'll just leave the hall. Then he'll enter the next hall. You don't get the point. He will leave a hall in Enugu at 5 o'clock. He will be in another hall at 5:30 in Abuja. He didn't have to go to school to learn it. He doesn't even know how it happens. It just happened. That is the spirit of Christ. No, I'm serious. No, really. These things happen. They do happen. One of the things I want Christians to understand is, let's get the point. It doesn't only happen with ministry. I like what the Kenegan said in one of his books once I was reading. He said that people should start learning to expect God to do things at any time. He said one day he was in his office. And suddenly his fingers began to ache very badly. He looked at his hands. There was nothing wrong with it. But they were aching very terribly. And he was in the office, maybe like them, you know, trying to write some letters. The secretary walks in. Suddenly he looked at her and said, "Do you have pains in your hands?" She said yes, then that she's been having this arthritis. Oh, and the man said, "Okay, no wonder. Okay, that's it, you are healed. That is no pain." Just okay, no wonder my hands were paining me. It's okay, you are healed. And that was it. The woman was healed instantly. They were not in church, they were just in the office. We're going to talk about that for that beginning from today. Let's take, you know, because, you know, as I said to you before, we talked a lot about economic matters in Nigeria because you see, every time Satan comes somewhere to try to derail the faith of people, are you getting the point? It comes somewhere to try to derail the faith of people. In countries like ours, all right, what they call third world countries, it comes around the issue of what shall we eat, what shall we drink, and where we do shall we be clothed. If you heard me on radio there, I taught you that don't forget, it is not what you will eat that's the issue. It is your faith. That's what God is running after, trying to see the perfection of it, and that's what Satan is running after, trying to kill it. So Jesus said to Peter, "Satan has desired to sift you all like wheat." He said, "But I've prayed for you, Peter, that what? That your faith may not fail." So Satan comes in certain places, all right, to try and make the faith of people fail. And that's why we speak about such places a lot, so that we direct the eyes of people away. He says, "Say to the cities of Zion, behold your God." That's why, that's why we go around. You find a lot of times messages will preach in that direction, to get people to understand there is a place for beholding your God, and then you don't have to worry about what we shall eat, what we shall drink, and wherewith us shall we be clothed. You are getting the point. So I'm going to explain something. These manifestations are also available to the businessman. I was joking with my wife today. And all of you listen, who would want to know? I'm not trying to sound prophetic, but it's a matter of fact. You know, Nigerians are running away from the stock market now. You know that. And that's a mistake. This is what, look, wise people, this is when they go inside. All the time, everybody was, I say, look, that one. The thing was getting too sweet. My friend was telling me yesterday, 2 days ago, he said, Lagos, people are broke. They sold houses, sold businesses, entered into the stock market, where this whole thing came tumbling down. But the very wise people, this is time to start buying up rich companies for very low prices. These things don't move up and down because of everybody. Look, listen, there are millions of people in Nigeria, right? There are just a few scores of people that God is concerned. Oh, I don't know what I get what I'm saying. Look, God will give everybody food, but there are people that God is shaping the economies around them. It's not everybody. You've heard me say before, we are not all of us are equal before God. Who lied that lie to you? Jeremiah tried to pray. God called him to order. He said, you can't pray like Moses. You can't pray like Samuel, can you? He said, no, sir. He said, even if those ones were to pray on this matter, we're here. How much more small prayer warrior like you? Many sins that other people will commit, people like David will commit, and God will say, "David, why now?" So, no vex, sir. I will punish you small. His children will sing. God will say, "Kai, were it not for your father?" So, don't tell me we're all equal. Potentially, we are. I said they wanted to test Job. What did they do? They killed his servants. Were they not human beings? David sinned. 70,000 people in Israel died. Some of the things I do in life is to ensure that nobody afflicts me to tempt somebody else. I must be important before God. If God wants to slap me, let it be for my own sin. Do you get what I'm saying? If he wants to afflict me, let it be that I'm the one that sinned. Not that one man somewhere sinned, and to show him that God is angry, they will not be punishing Banky. Hey, God forbid, but... What I'm going to explain by that is this. In life, you just have to make up your mind. You'll be very, very important before God. And I'm saying that God moves things up and down because of the people that are important before him. Not because of everybody. Not because of everybody. To change the location of Israel, Jacob and his children, God will just put famine all over the world. And he's only interested in changing the location of Jacob and his children.
He said, okay, famine, everybody, yeah, move. So as to move, to make sure that Jesus was born in a particular place, they numbered the whole nation. To make sure one person was born in a particular place. What I'm explaining is this. Once the Christ nature is manifested in people, do you get my point? Those miracles we are talking, look, God will do them for you in the sphere of business. I said something before about the working of miracles. Listen, it's not only in church. Listen to me, if God has come to the arena of business, don't be afraid to buy up dying companies. There is a power of resurrection in your hands. You say, what if your life is not a chance occurrence? I hope you get what I'm saying. Stock such companies. It's worth $50 million. Because of the harassment around it, they will sell it for $15. Believe me, they will. So when you see economic turmoil, know that wealth is about to change hands. You are getting the point I'm making? So when you see such things, you say, ah, you see, you know, this kind of a company, now, you know, there's trouble, though. You don't never, just be waiting for the open door to put your hand into it. Because those hands are healing hands. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yes, they are healing hands. There's working of miracles. I'm explaining something. That God confounds the wisdom of the wise if he finds the spirit of Christ in somebody. Every reason why they say things should go wrong, things will not go wrong. Why? Because the spirit of Christ is manifested in the life of somebody. Have you gotten the point I've made so far? You know, I don't know how did we get there? We're trying to review the issue of being the center of the will of God, right? Yes, that's what I was trying to review. That once we are dead in the center of the will of God, we find ourselves squarely in the center of God's will. All other things are added. All right? That there are so many principles people try to learn in life. You don't need all of them. I'm not saying you shouldn't be informed. I'm not saying you shouldn't read. Do you get my point? But at least know that my case will be better than this one. Be informed, be aware, but know that my case is different from what I'm reading about. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? All right. Okay, so I said she opened somewhere, right? Yeah. Let me now get into today's message. Deuteronomy chapter 4, let me read from verse 5. Moses was reviewing here. He says, see, I have taught you statutes and commandments, just as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should do thus in the land where you are entering to possess it. He says, so keep and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples who will hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. That's what people will say. Moses said, this is the reason why they will say it. He said, for what great nation, verse 7, is there that has a God so near to it as is the Lord our God whenever we call on him? Or what great nation is there that has statutes and judgments as righteous as this whole law which I am setting before you today? Now, please, there's something I want to bring out here. I've read this in context, but my main line that I want to use to ignite what I want to say is in verse 7. It said, for what great nation is there that has a God so near to it as is the Lord our God whenever we call on him? Please notice that. That is what marked out the Israelite nation was the fact that God was close to them. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, God was what? Close to them. You know, as a child, I remember when they taught us the custom and the traditions of the Yorubas, one of the lectures we had in secondary school. The man was talking about the gods that people have around, you know. Like Yoruba land, they have, I don't know about this part of the country, but at least I know quite a bit about the culture on that side. There are different gods, like Ogun is a god. God, the god of iron. There's God of Thunder, we call it Shango. You see, you hear names like that. If you see here Shango, Ogun, that's where they get the names from. Then there's Ifa, that was the oracle. All right, that was the diviner. So now those gods were all people. Let me just let you understand that. There was a man whose name was Ogun. After he died, they canonized him. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. Yes, no, really, I'm not joking about that. That's exactly what happened. So you have people like Obatala, people like Ifa, you know, they're different ones, you know, different people who did valiantly. And then when they died, they said, these people are not ordinary people. Some of them were rulers. Some of them were warriors. Some of them were just diviners, priests. And when they died, people said, no, these were not ordinary people. So they will now pray through them to the Almighty God. And my teacher explained then that the principle was because the God of the universe was so big, and notice this, so far away, that to reach him, you have to go through somebody else. That was the custom of the peoples. And it's not only here, it was all over the world. Most of the gods, people, like you hear about the Greek gods, a lot of those people existed as human beings. The giants of old, that when they died, people said, no, these were not ordinary people. They now call them gods, you know what I mean? And people will now start offering sacrifices to them, asking them to help them talk to the big Baba. Are you getting what I'm saying? Since we can't go to him directly, we talk to somebody who we can reach. And listen, I don't have time to go. In fact, it's outside our scope to discuss that now. There was a reason for that. The Bible said that Jesus Christ, we have a high priest, talking about Jesus, who can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. It's the same principle. The people said, look, the big God up there, Yoruba calls him Olodumare. We can't reach him. He has never been here. But Ogun we know. Shango we know. He was around. He used to stay here. When there was famine, he was there. So when they wanted to talk to the big God, they will talk to Ogun. Maybe you help them talk to him. They will offer him. And the big God, they didn't know what he wanted. At least Ogun, you know, you gave him palm wine. You know, you knew what he liked. So you could give it to him and he will intercede for you before God. And that's how all the nations that time, that's how they were. Are you getting what I'm saying? So Moses now said that, but look at your case, it's different. Which nation has this kind of relationship with God that we have? He said, do you have any nation, a great nation around you, that their God is as close to us, to them, as our own Lord God is to us when we call upon him? And bring an issue that Christianity is even better than that. As a nation, these people were close to God. As individuals, we are close to God. Are you getting the point I'm making? As a nation, they had laws and they were close to God as a nation. But the plan of Christianity is that each one, each individual is close to God. We've been talking about walking the will of God. Now, I need to say something today. Sometimes, you know, when we talk as teachers of the Word of God, one of the things we are trying to do is to balance people. Do you hear what I said? So when people are on one side of a ditch, you tend to move closer to the other end of the ditch, trying to pull them out, trying to strike a balance. So if people don't realize what you are doing, they will think you are trying to enter the other ditch. No, you're not trying to enter it. You're trying to get people out of the other one. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? Balance, Ed Cole said, is the key to life. Kenneth Hagin said, one of the hardest things to do is to get Christians to be balanced. The example I like to give those days, well, a lot of times, but that those days, at least when I entered the secondary school those days, I wanted my first introduction to real Christianity as a young boy. We were introduced into this kind of deeper life, holiness kind of setting. The day W.F. Kumuyi got married, people were not sure he would wear a jacket. Yeah, they were not sure he would wear a suit. They were so used to him wearing short sleeves and a tie. I'm serious. Television is supposed to be the devil's box. I thought that terminology arose from Nigeria until I bought a book written in the late 70s by David Wilkerson. And I saw him call it the devil's box. And every good Christian should get rid of it from their living rooms. Who born you may you wear jewelry? Use makeup. You are saying God made you down. You want to make yourself up. I've heard it preached before. That when they make up, meaning that we are not being well made, so they want to make up. God is not good enough. I said, bro, why do you dress up? Why don't you dress down? Are you saying God didn't close you enough when he gave it to you? Now, I'm bringing out an issue in all of these things. That was the extreme people were in. Then I entered university. Around the time, this is after the Archbishop Benson Dawson had come to preach in Nigeria. My God is not a poor God. And we'll sit down. Redemption Hour on Sundays was a show for us to watch. The first man of God with Agbada. The embroidery on the Agbada, that time we used to call it Jackan. I never heard the word embroidery. It was Jackan. The Jackan on the Agbada, eh? From top to bottom. And you wear a long chain with a cross at the end of it. And we would look at the women in church with gele. Hey, these people are very carnal. Then I entered campus. Righteousness is of the heart. It's not outward. So girls will be wearing pata to church, to fellowship. See, it doesn't matter. God doesn't look on the outside. You see, from one extreme, what are we diving into? The other extreme. You know how they know the difference between a harlot and a Christian again? I'm telling you, look, you just be wondering. Wait, oh. Is this one? Because the Bible talks about the attire of a harlot. You can identify who is a harlot by how she's dressed. How do you know a madman? Is it because she comes and says, please, this is my card. I've not been taking my medicine. I'm a patient. Is that how you know a madman? Do you get my point? I'm trying to say something. The problem we had is the problem of what? Balance. Yes, we needed to get out of the extreme of how we dressed as if all the problems of the world was on our shoulders. But it didn't mean we should not get to the extreme of dressing as if the devil and us, we are friends. You know, some of those designers are agents of Satan. I hope you know. I'm not saying that because I'm preaching. And I want to sound good. Take it from me, I believe with all my heart. They are agents of Satan. Some of them know, others don't. I am not joking about what I am saying. Very few things that have a lot of influence in the world is innocent. Some are deliberately conjured to spread iniquity. It's just that people are too ignorant. They have not read around much. Now, let me get back to this issue of the will of God. I'm talking about balance. All the while that I've been preaching, I've been trying to explain something. Those who don't hear us thoroughly, we probably think that we are saying that God does not speak to people. I have never said that. But what I have said is that Christians have thought that that's all God does. Oh boy, have you woken up? Do you want to wear a black shirt or white shirt? It's my will. Wear a white one. So when the man comes out in the morning, say, bro, how come you're wearing a white shirt when you know today we're going to cut grass and clean church? So when I woke up this morning, my spirit said, they cast away all reasoning because there was a time we had so much teaching about being led by the Spirit of God. You are getting the principle. One of my younger friends in the Lord the other day, he was writing a book and he gave it a title which to me was quite horrible. Very beautiful book. So I wanted to correct him about the title. So you know the first question I asked? This is an interesting thing. The first question I asked him, I said, oh boy, how did you come about that title? Did you cook it up or the Lord spoke to you about it? There's a reason why I asked that question. Because sometimes when you want to reason with people, they say, hey, you know, when I was praying, that was all God told me to use as the title. This horrible title. Once you say it is God, I will keep quiet. May I not be found arguing against God? And let me tell you another thing. People should be careful. Let me just beg you now, all of you are here. Please avoid using the word God said, except you read it from the Bible, one, or it came by such a dramatic manifestation that you can never doubt the fact that it was God that said it. All these impressions you had in your heart in the morning is not God said. It's better to say, it seemed good to me, or it was impressed upon my heart, or I feel strongly persuaded about this, or when I woke up this morning, this thought stayed on my heart, and I perceive it is the Spirit of God. That's a better way. Do you get the point? If I send you a text message, it is not from my phone. I didn't put Banky on it. You say the wording is like Banky. You'll be crazy to go around quoting that Banky said. It's not from my phone. I didn't sign it with my name. It's just that you say, the way he introduced the scripture, This is a banky kind of text. If you thought it was me, what you should say is, I got a text message. I think it's from banky. I'm not sure, but I think he's the one. He's the one that writes like this. Do you understand my point? So that tomorrow when you find out that there's another guy who writes like him, say, okay, no wonder I was confusing it with. Now, I'm trying to explain something. Avoid using the word, the expression, God said, except one, you read it in the scriptures, or two, it came to you by such a dramatic manifestation. Let me explain what I mean by dramatic manifestation. You woke up one morning and your door opened and an angel walked in and said, my name is Gabriel. I sit beside God in heaven. I behold his face daily. He said, I should tell you, behold, you shall be with child and you shall bring forth this. Do you get my point? Yes. If it is dream self, say I dreamt. Because dreams, they are fantastical. A man eats in a particular fashion, he will dream. You know, when we're young, they tell you that if you're having a bad dream and you wake up, find that you are facing the left side of the room, just turn and face the right side, the dream will go away. And it always worked. At least I thought so. It always appeared to work. Please, what am I trying to explain? I'm bringing out the issue that why I have to explain in details about the normal walk of a believer is the fact that Christians had gotten to an extreme. You like a woman, they say, God said I should marry her. What is your problem? It is honest enough to say, there's nothing wrong with liking people. Every young man that doesn't like a woman has a problem. You know that. So you're not alone. I mean, if he doesn't like now, he will like later. The Lord is good. No, I'm just trying to explain something. So there's nothing, you know, it's just that people, you know, people think that it is not Christian to be interested in a woman. Are you going to marry yourself? What's wrong with you? I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. So if it is you that like, just say simply. You know, people, when they wanted to gather courage, you go and say, Pastor, as I was praying, for this last 5 weeks, you know, when you declare that fast, I started fasting. Then when you say we should end it, my spirit said I should continue. And I continue for another 1 week. Since then, when I wake up in the morning, faith, you will come to my heart. And I thought it was the scripture. I began to read Hebrews chapter 11. Then one last time I came to your office, you know that sister was there, and you introduced her and you said her name is Faith. Then suddenly I realized that it is her name that has been come. You tell me that kind of story. I'll just be waiting for, okay, so now that you have received her name from heaven, what is the issue? You want to marry? He said, yes, sir. That's what you should have started with. All this story you are telling me, how God led you, what concerns me? I've heard more dramatic stories and the sister refused. So what is the problem? Just that the man doesn't know how to just come simply. Say, sir, I see flower. Last night when I come to your office, okay, I want your permission to pursue after plucking it. It's no big deal. Just say it like that. The Lord is good. So that's the reason why we have to explain all those things. That listen, there is a way by which God expects people to walk. And that is by using that which is what? Revealed already. That which is already revealed. This is the will of God concerning you, he said, your sanctification. That you abstain from all fleshly lust, that no one defrauds any other brother. You know, basic righteous living is the will of God. We don't pray about that. And that's what we should exercise ourselves in. Let me say it again. I don't believe that Christians are supposed to go and learn. Learn. Listen. Learn how to hear the voice of God. I don't believe it. When Samuel heard God, God shouted till he heard. When Moses heard God, he was just going about his business. He now saw a strange sight. Did God not reveal his will to Nebuchadnezzar? Was he a believer? So let's take it easy. Read your scriptures. Most people that God spoke to, they were saying, God, why are you talking to me? Jeremiah was walking one day. God said, come. Before I knew you, before you knew yourself, I knew you. Before you were born, I consecrated you. You remember I said, wait, are you sure you're talking to me? That the man didn't exercise himself in trying to hear. Listen, what he exercised himself in, which everybody should, is how to obey once it has been revealed to you. Once there is a readiness of heart to obey, God knows how to communicate.
I don't know whether you hear what I said.
Once the heart is ready to obey God, he knows how to communicate his will. That is why I have found out, and I keep preaching it, the major job of a believer in life is to be corrected. Let me say it again. That the major assignment you have in life is to have your heart corrected. And the place where the believer is supposed to improve in perfection is in the presence of the teaching of the word of God. Are you getting my point? He said the word of God is profitable for what? For correction. Are you getting what I'm saying? I'm bringing out something here. It is the things we have not yet been corrected concerning that are preventing us from knowing the will of God. My best example, I don't know why it's such a good example, is this matter of marriage. The will of God is straightforward. Did I hear an amen? If you remove all the hindrances, when you see a woman for the first time, you are liking her, then they say, oh, she's not from your state too. You know, you suddenly slow down. As called stronghold, it has risen up to block you from the will of God. Stronghold. Suddenly you are discovering things that cannot be defended in the light of the word of God. As long as you hold on to those things, no matter how much you claim you are keen in spiritual hearing, you can't hear jack. Anything you hear will be of Satan. Let me tell you about spiritual communications. The Bible says that if we ask according to his will, he does what? He hears. So it is not the volume of shouting that makes God hear. Are you getting what I'm saying? It is not the length of prayer that makes God hear. It is not the number of that goes with the prayer. It is not the volume of tongues spoken. It is that we ask in accordance with his will. He said, okay, how do I know the will of God? When he talks like that, God is very, very kind. He's not talking about high falutin will of God. He's talking about basic will of God. I want a car, Father. God said, why are you asking? He said, Emeka has bought one. That is the pride of life. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That is asking against the will of God. Do you follow what I'm saying? I want a car. God said, why are you asking? You said, be fruitful and multiply. My business needs it for running around. My ministry needs it. Now I have a wife. She's about to deliver. Are you getting what I'm saying? Look, God delights, the Bible says, in the prosperity of his servants. That's asking in accordance with his will. Well, I want a new car. That's why. He said, as a man of God, when I get to a place, I should step out and express prosperity. You're a fool. You've not heard that Paul said we were poor, yet we're making many rich. All the babalawos, they crawl to their longos. Where are they? Inside mansion? Don't give me those kind of nonsense reasoning. That's asking not according to the will of God. Let's not sit on that. I'm trying to explain something. So when we're talking about hearing spiritually, it's not the volume of speech. It's the kind of heart that is talking and the kind of heart that is listening. Do you get what I'm trying to say? God speaks all the time. There's one thing one brother said once. He said, God speaks all the time. Let me put my own words. The word of God is always going forth. It's always going forth. That's why God can speak to Abraham once for the next 15 years. He doesn't hear any other thing, but he's constantly obeying that one he heard. Every word that God releases, listen to me, saints of God, has so much depth in it. You only hear the fragment you can imbibe at each time. God can say to you, go. And today it means go downstairs. So, brother Fred, I'm on my way. Say, well, God said go. And in your mind, all you are going to is where? Downstairs. Then before you get downstairs, understanding has come to you. And suddenly you see that there is a mission across the road. Then the word go is amplified. You cross the road. Then you get to the other side. He said, no, it's not only Enugu. God wants us to conquer the whole of Nigeria. Go takes you to Abuja. One word you have heard is what? Go. God has not repeated himself. Your ability to hear has been expanding. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That is why I tell you, you don't need to go and rehearse how to hear. You need to improve the state of your heart. The more your heart is in tune with God, the more you can hear. Because one word from God is loaded.
Come on.
I told you at the beginning, when we read from Genesis chapter 1, the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the deep. And then hovering over the surface of the waters. He said, and God said. Remember what I said? God did not speak English. God did not speak Hebrew. There was no human being to the present to hear those languages. All God did was, and there was light. When it was time to move the firmament, separate the waters with the firmament, God just looked. Now, I'm bringing out something. The depth of what was inside God's heart erupted again. And then the waters separated. One day I read the scripture, I called my wife, I said, come and see that thing I've been preaching. I finally found the scripture. David said that by the blast of thy nostrils, the earth was created. What am I saying? When God said, let the earth bring forth, all he did was, meanwhile, that he said, the earth will produce leaf, will produce stem, will produce this. It will keep producing and producing. Why? Because God just said, So when God said, be fruitful and multiply. Listen, hey God. Somebody called me the other day, we're talking. He said, sir, when you say 300, he said, depends on who you are talking to. He said, when somebody says 300, you have to know who's talking before you can get what he said. He said to an average person, 300, I was talking about Naira. It means 300 literal Naira. 1, 2, 3, 200, 250, 299, 300. To some people, when they say, oh boy, can I have my 300 back? He's talking about 300,000 naira. In certain circles, when they are discussing, say, so how much is it going to be? Says 300. You think 300 will be enough? What they are talking about is 300 million naira. My friend showed me photographs. He said, oh, this is the house we bought for madam. I said, I said, how much? He said, 70 apiece. I knew instantly it was a terrace building of 6 portions. He says 70 apiece. I knew the house was bought for 420 million naira. He didn't have to say further. Because the madam, I knew he was talking about. That you don't buy a house for 70,000 naira. What am I saying? God can say to you, go, receive 70. He doesn't say more than that. Today you will rejoice over 70,000. Then you wake up tomorrow and say, no, the Lord must have been saying 70 million. Then that's it. You will receive 70 million. Then one day you say, no, it cannot be, it couldn't have been in Naira. I think he was talking about 70 million. God said, fine, as your heart enlarges. Do you get the point I'm making?
Yes.
The emphasis for believers is in the ability to receive, not how to tune your frequency, you know. If the voice comes immediately after praying, it is the voice of God, it's a lie. When Jesus finished praying, who appeared? Satan. After fasting and fasting and fasting, who appeared? Satan. He said, oh boy, you have finished fasting. Are you not hungry? He said, I know you have the power. Turn this stone to bread. Was it God? It was not God. People have said that the voice, if it brings peace to your heart, it is the voice of God. It's not true. If you're a wicked man, the voice of God brings disturbance to your soul. Are you getting what I'm saying? I have had personal experiences. The voice of God that came to me unsettled me for the next few weeks. Why? Because the direction I was being led in was not where my heart wanted to go to. But thank God, by that time I had learned the principle of prayer. You will pray. I told you before, that's how prayer is. You will pray until your heart receives that voice with joy. So there's no look. I said it before. When Jehoshaphat sat down with Ahab and the prophets were prophesying, the prophets were inspired. They were not lying. But they had a lying spirit. People have seen vision for you. Oh God, I will never forget the story of Derek Prince. He was casting out demons from a lady that had a familiar spirit. For those of you who have been going to white garment churches and they have been praying for you until they see a vision, know that I'm instructing you today, desist. You have been listening to voices of familiar spirits. So Derek Prince was casting out a demon from a woman that used to operate that. You saw that Paul and Co. got into trouble when they did something like that. He said, suddenly, the woman turned around. She really saw visions. You see that the people really see. Yes, they do. But there's what the Bible calls lying spirits. The lady turned and said, oh, I see you in a red car wrapped around the tree. That is, he was in a red car and the car had had an accident. And the prince calmly, if you knew the man, he was a cool man. Proper English gentleman. He answered in a very calm voice that, oh, no, that's not relevant. You've seen the devil's plan for my life, and I don't walk in the devil's plan. No prayer beyond that, apart from the one of casting out the evil spirit. Never prayed about it. Never had any accident with any red or yellow or pink or brown or purple car. Died at about the age of 90. Listen, there are voices always going out too. That's why Jesus talked about my sheep. They have to be my sheep to be able to recognize my voice. Please, I've laid that emphasis again today. I would like to close shortly, though I didn't get into what I want to say. But let me just introduce it. Why we read that scripture is that this is Christianity. Our God is very close. Are you getting my point? And indeed, God speaks to people. And a lot of us believers who have copied God said, we copied from those who God really spoke to, and they had the right to say, God said. We thought it was just part of the many expressions of Christianese. You know what I mean? Everything you want to do, you have to say, God said. People want to obey what they want to do. In my church, that's where I attend here, I got the reputation among some people of being very, very, very... My one brother told me, say, that's why I like you, Banky. You are very, very open. I will tell you simply, you know, let me give you one of the things I don't do. If we are waiting for somebody, and he said, let's just worship the Lord. I said, listen, my friend, we are waiting. We are not worshiping. All this worship that God is not happy with. He said, has the man of God come? No, he hasn't. Okay, let's worship. Let's worship. I said, listen, my friend, this is not right. This is not right. The way I normally do, I grab the microphones. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Right now, the man of God is supposed to be here. But it's not yet here. So let us look for something to fill the time. All of us know. Do you get my point? I said, while we are waiting, let us dance and praise the Lord. Do you get my point? We already know that we are waiting. Not, oh, I just feel the presence of God very strong here. Oh, let's just continue to worship. When the truth is that you are feeling the presence of God because you can't feel the presence of the man of God. So you just have to feel the God's presence. God, you can't complain. Do you understand what I'm saying? His presence is everywhere. No. I don't think it is right. No, that's me. People say, oh, was that not powerful? I just saw the glory of God there. I say, my friend, why are you deceiving yourself? If you enjoyed the music, say you enjoyed it. This one you are not, you just saw. Some of us didn't enjoy it, for your information. If you can, honestly, if you can be very sincere as a Christian, you'll go far in life. You will go very, very far. You will go very far. Are you getting the point I'm making? And that's why I have tried to explain to people. Indeed, God speaks. But let's remove all this joke that we crack. That when God now really, when somebody really hears God, we now don't know whether he's telling the truth or he's not. But let me say it again. That's what I wanted to preach today. I'll say it next time. God indeed speaks to people. God communicates directly to people. Christianity is not white garment church. It's not divination. You don't have to visit a prophet. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Your God is close to you. Are you getting my point? Paul said, why do you have to say, who will go down to heaven to go and bring that Christ Jesus from there, or go down to the depths and go and bring him up again? He said, what does he say? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth. The word of faith that we preach. I'm bringing out something. Our God is close. And he speaks. To God, you are not one of the... No, let me say, you are not part of the multitude. You are one out of many. To him, you are one person. He knows the very number of hairs on your head. And he knows the number of each one. And before you barb your hair, he signs it. Some of those Rastafarians, God has condemned them to no barbing. I'm going to bring out something. You are unique. You are personally recognized by God. He has a specific will for your life. We have already tackled the issue of walking in the general will for everybody, walking in general righteousness. But we are going on to talk about now about the fact that God will communicate to you personally when necessary. What I wanted to do today, but I'll spend a lot of the time sharing other things, is to explain the different ways by which he communicates personally to people. About the most infrequent of the ways are things like audible voices, open visions. But listen, they may be infrequent, but they happen. Listen to me, somebody present here today. One day you will be going and you will hear a voice and you will think somebody is calling you. You will turn around and say, who is that? And you won't see anybody. And you want to go again, and then the voice will call again, and you say, who is that? And you won't see anybody. It will probably call you two or three times like Samuel. And then finally you will perceive that God wants to talk to you. And once you turn and you pay attention, because one of the things God has to get from us first is what? Attention. A lot of things you see in the Bible. Moses, God has been trying to talk to Moses for a few days, maybe a few months. Moses was very busy. Then finally, God said, the only thing I can do to distract this guy is show him something unusual. He saw a bush that was burning. And he passed. He came again. The bush is still burning. This bush no go finish to the burn. They now went to go and investigate the phenomenon of the bush that burns without finishing burning. Then God said, at last, we have gotten his attention. Are you getting my point? Yes, a lot of times God wants to communicate with us, but we are too busy. Do you follow the point I'm making? These are the things we just need to get, you know, into proper order. To make time out for God. Personally, I have found, this is my own personal revelation. It may not be like that with everybody. The time God has been, I found it easiest to communicate with me or anything is when I'm studying. Do you get my point? Suddenly I start having ideas on what to preach, what to do next, what not to do. God needs your attention, he needs mine. But what I want to introduce is the fact that God is close. Everybody say, God is close. Listen, the Holy Spirit is with you. Say it, he's with me. The Holy Spirit is with me. He leads me into all truth. Listen, when it is necessary, I want you to understand this. God will send an angel to you. And you don't have to be a preacher. I have friends said, one day I was talking with a friend of mine. As people say, they have seen visions of the Lord. That is, the Lord Jesus Christ appeared to them visibly. I was just talking. I said, I wonder how it is like. And the lady just turned to me and said, it happened to me once. I said, what did you say? He said, somebody I had known for some time. Eh? What did you talk? And she now started with the story. He said, there was a time that she was sick unto death. She was unconscious for days. And then when she began to recover, she was lying down on the bed, and one day she opened her eyes and she saw the Lord just sitting at the foot of the bed looking at her. She was a young teenage girl. Things like that happen. Are you getting my point? Christianity is not Islam.
We are not just learning principles. This is not Buddhism. This is not Christian Science. All those things I have found that they have laws, they have principles on how to tackle life, how to control your environment. We're not trying to do that. Jesus came to introduce God as what? Father to us. That we can come boldly and say, Abba, Father. What the word Abba is, the English word will be daddy. That is a dear word. It's the word you use for somebody you personally recognize and who knows you personally, and you have an intimate relationship with the person. Are you getting what I'm saying? Listen, this is Christianity. And in Christianity, God speaks to people. It is a lie for Jehovah's Witnesses to tell you that he stopped speaking once they finished completing the Bible. There was never a day everybody agreed that now we have finished completing the word that God spoke. The elders of the church at the time, the Hebrew canon was easy to understand. You understand my point? To gather the Hebrew canon was not a problem. That's Old Testament. The New Testament was the one that was a major problem. Because you see all kinds of gospels. All kinds of creatures have come up and have written their own gospels. But the elders of the church at the time settled down and using certain criteria, picked the letters, and I noticed something, the Holy Spirit guiding them. They picked only from those who heard Jesus speak directly. You say, what about Paul? Paul heard him speak directly, but it was after his resurrection. And they compiled it. Good enough, those things were actually introductions to the New Testament, to the New Covenant. The New Covenant was written, guess by who? Moses, David, Isaiah, Jeremiah, or all those people. He said, Pastor Bank, what are you saying? The Bible said, we are living the thing that the prophets prophesied, but they didn't understand. And Peter said, they went to seek, asking that, look, this thing that the Spirit of Christ in us is testifying concerning, what is it about? And the Spirit told them, it's not for your time. It's for a time that is yet to come. And upon us, that age has come. Listen, the gospel was first preached by the prophets. Moses wrote the first gospel. Not Matthew, not Mark, not Luke, not John, not Peter, not Paul. People like Paul and Peter, they gave us the keys to understanding the prophecies of Isaiah. So when he will say, I and the children that the Lord have given me, we are for signs and for wonders. It's for us now. Every one of my physical children, their names are signs and wonders. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Our God still speaks. The Holy Spirit is near you. Angels still visit people. I have had too many testimonies of angelic visitations that even if I was an unbeliever by now, I would believe it. But I'm not an unbeliever. The testimony of the scriptures is clear. God still speaks to people. But please, let's not use the word God spoke lightly. Are you getting what I'm saying? If you like a woman, ask her to marry you. If she marries you, it's good. Amen? God doesn't have to speak. It doesn't mean he has not spoken. Are you married? Are you engaged? Are you in any active chasing? None of the above. But do you know God has already spoken concerning your marriage? You said? I'm telling you now. Let me now declare it to you. God has already spoken concerning your marriage. He has spoken concerning who you will marry. God doesn't make mistakes, so he calls the person by name. One day, he saw one young woman. He said, Ufoma, come. Go and greet Banky. I want him to marry you. She didn't know that he was the one saying it. And she walked up to me. Good afternoon, sir. I said, how are you? Please, I have a few questions. I said, fine girl. And that is it. I heard the voice of God. That was all. I heard this rest of the gist. That was all that happened. That's my wife. God made sure she came that day. God made sure I was around. Before I knew her, God knew you will marry that girl. And you will marry that man.
whatever reason you will have to marry him, just marry him. Deceive yourself, tell yourself the truth, whatever you like, do it inside your heart, just marry him. And you, man of God, sir, you will marry that girl. If you like, be confused, marry her. If you like, be clear, marry her. At the end of the day, you shall hear the word of prophecy, and the officiating priest shall say, I pronounce you man and wife. And that is the will of God. What am I saying? God is always speaking. But there are times he will speak dramatically. He will send an angel to your room. The angel will knock you on the feet. Wake up. Come out. Eat. We have to move. The journey is far. Where are we going? I will show you when we get there. Well, that was how they delivered Peter. Peter was sleeping. Wake up. And the guy thought one of the guards have come again. And the guy was following the guard. Then the door started opening by itself. Ah, this is a special kind of guard. And that's one thing about God. In the prison, the angel led him till he got outside. Once he got outside, the angel said, sure, you can find your way. The angel didn't even tell him where to go again. The guy just said, ah, what's going on? Oh boy, don't vanish. Ah, I'm free. I'm outside. He knew where to go. When he got there, the door there didn't open by itself. Oh. Come. Open this one. This angel, why are you not here? The angel said, I don't do my work. This one, you knock the door. The guy knocked on the door until one little girl called Rhoda now came and said, Ebelai, this is my brother Peter. Are you getting what I'm saying? A day will come. God may send an angel to you, or the Lord Jesus Christ himself may appear to you and give you instructions. He told Kenneth Hagin what to preach and what to teach. And those things still happen. I hope you've got my point. All right, let us pray. Let us give the Lord thanks.